Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Native on Heritage Radio Network. I am your host, Brianna Kurtz. Each week, this show features a U.S. or international destination and uses food and drink as a gateway to explore and celebrate the gastronomic and economic virtues of a location. Today, rather than talking to farmers and chefs, we're taking a different road into international cuisine. And to help me, I am joined by some of the League of Kitchens team. We are going to be discussing what the organization does and use their programming as a lens to look more closely at Greek and Indian cuisines. So without further ado, I want to introduce my guests for today, Jessica Chakraborty.
Chakraborty, yes.
There you go. Lots of syllables there. She's the Director of Communications for League of Kitchens, Despina Ekonomou from Greece, and Yamina Joshi from India. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Welcome. It's a packed house full of ladies today, so lucky me. Well, I want to start with Jessica and ask about what the League of Kitchens is and how it got started.
Sure. The League of Kitchens is a new type of cooking school and what we like to call an immersive culinary adventure that's based in New York City. And all of our instructors are immigrants, and they teach the cooking workshops from their own home kitchens. So the idea is it is both a culinary learning experience, but also an immersive cultural learning experience where you're traveling into a new neighborhood, actually entering someone's home, learning about their background, their personal story, as well as their culture and cuisine, while you learn to cook 5 to 6 dishes from a traditional meal from that culture.
Excellent. And when did it get started?
We just launched in February of this year, so we're relatively new. And the idea actually came from our founder, Lisa Gross, who was kind of inspired by her own personal story and background. She grew up in the D.C. area. Her mother was actually an immigrant from Korea, and her father was Jewish of Hungarian descent, living in New York when he grew up. And she also lived with their Korean grandmother. And her Korean grandmother actually didn't want to teach Lisa or Lisa's mother to cook because she preferred they focused on studies. So Lisa found when she was older and became interested in cooking and learning how to prepare the dishes she grew up with, it was really frustrating trying to learn from online recipes or from a book. She really wanted to learn from a person, to learn those subtle techniques that often take something from great to exceptional. So she thought of, wouldn't it be great to just be able to find a Korean grandmother who could teach me? And from that was the idea of, wouldn't it be great to find grandmothers, quote unquote, from all over the world, from different countries, especially living in New York City where so many different groups are represented. So she kind of built the company from there.
Absolutely. Great story. And here we are today. So how many different types of cuisines do you feature in League of Kitchens right now?
We're currently offering workshops in 6 different cuisines, and we've just hired 2 additional instructors who are in training and will probably begin teaching later this year. And those are Afghan, Bangladeshi, Indian, Korean, Lebanese, and Greek. And the 2 new instructors we just hired are from Argentina and Trinidad.
Wow. Okay. So lots of yummy stuff for people
to check out.
Good. Well, I want to jump right in and turn it over to Despina. And I want to start by finding out more about your background. So if you could tell us where you're from in Greece and tell us a little bit about the area.
I'm from Chalkida. Chalkida is the capital of Evia. Evia is an island, second in size after Crete, and it's surrounded by water. And it's an hour from Athens, very close to Athens.
And what is unique to that area? If it's an island, I imagine there's a lot of sea influence. What other things?
Yes. It's not very touristy, but it's a very nice and beautiful island. And the advantage is because it's very close to Athens, people can travel within a day, see a theater, see a museum, and come back to Chalkida.
And where did you learn to cook?
I learned to cook in my own home through my stepmother and my father, who used to be a cook. And since I was small, I was in the kitchen all the times with my stepmother and my father.
What were some of your favorite things to eat when you were little in Greece?
Fish was my favorite thing, and horta, which is several greens cooked together with olive oil and lemon.
And when did you move to the U.S.?
I moved to the U.S. in 1972 in January.
Wow. Okay. So you've been here quite a while.
Yes.
How old were you then when you moved here?
27.
Okay. Was there, when you got here, an adjustment you moved immediately to New York?
Yes, I came to New York January 9, and I remember it was a raining day, it was very foggy, and it was kind of scary. I didn't like the way New York looked, but I loved it now.
It's kind of like a day like today, a little bit.
Yes.
And so when you got here, were you... did you speak English? What was the adjustment like?
I took English for 6 years in Greece, but when I came here, I was not able to speak a word. I only knew English from the book, but I was not able to speak it. So it was a very hard time for me, and I had to go to school, night school, for 6 months. And I was working as a nurse's aide because I study nursing in Greece, and I was not able to start right away because I had to take my state boards to get my license. So for a year and a half, I was working as a nurse's aide. At the meantime, I was going to school and studying to get my license.
And while at night, so that was your day job, but at night, were you still in the kitchen?
I was cooking for myself, yes.
And how about ingredients? You know, you're still cooking Greek food, but finding the ingredients here versus back at home in Greece. What was that like?
It's very easy in New York to find the Greek ingredients because there are several Greek stores in Astoria. So I had no problem.
Excellent. And what are some of those favorite stores of yours that you shop at for Greek ingredients?
I shop at Titan, is my favorite store, and Mediterranean, it's another store in Astoria.
Well, let's dive in a little bit more to the food. What are some of your favorite things to cook today?
I cook shrimps with rice. This is my favorite dish. I cook lamb, I cook moussaka, I cook pasticcio, fish, and several dishes with vegetables.
Why is shrimp and rice your favorite?
Because it's very nourishing and it tastes very good. And it's very easy to cook, very easy.
And do we see some of these dishes show up in your cooking classes with League of Kitchens?
Yes.
Yes. What are some of the students' favorites to cook?
Actually, Lisa Gross loves the tourlou.
What is that?
It's a vegetable dish consisted of eggplant, zucchini, potato, and everything is fresh, of course, and parsley and onions, garlic, and fresh red tomato cooked in the oven.
Excellent. And what are some things that maybe people would be surprised to find out about Greek food? Because there's, you know, we all talk about lamb and the vegetables, but what are maybe some things that people don't know about that they should try to find out or check out?
People don't know about?
Just some dishes that are a little bit more traditional that you don't see as often here in New York that maybe you cook for special holidays or...
Okay, the lamb is very traditional on holidays, and it's usually cooked Easter time, but they cook it also during the year. Some other ones are the beans, the chickpeas, and recently they try fava, which is the split pea, the green or the yellow. And it used to be the food for the poor. Now they are introducing it into the restaurants, and it's very popular.
Interesting. And do you know why that is? It's just kind of...
Because the bean family is very rich and has protein, and I guess people are today more interested. They try to avoid meat, and they come back to the bean family.
Trying to be more and more healthy.
Yes.
Excellent. And what about Greek restaurants here? Do you have some favorites of those in New York?
My favorite restaurant is in Astoria, and it's called Kyklades. It's very, very busy, and if you want to eat good, fresh food, I would suggest to go to this restaurant. Normally it's not busy for lunchtime, mm-hmm. and during the week try to avoid to go weekends because there is a line and you have to wait for a half an hour.
Do you have some League of Kitchens classes coming up soon?
Yes.
Can you tell me, like, what happens, like, I come to your house, I'm a student, and what am I going to do?
Okay, the first thing, we introduce ourselves, and we say a little bit about each student, the background for a minute or two, and then we're washing our hands, and we have a little lunch before we start, and we wash our hands, and then we start cooking. Everybody participates. I have everything cleaned up before the students come, and everybody helps cutting the vegetables, whatever it needs to be done for the food to cook. And everybody participates, and they ask questions about the food. And at the end, when everything, we take a little break in the middle, and at the end, we all sit down and eat the food we cook. Yes.
And I know Jessica said about 5 to 6 dishes. So do you do, like, is there an appetizer and then, like, a main, or how, what is it? What are the dishes look like?
Okay, the dishes I cook is shrimp with rice, meatballs, tzatziki, the tourlou, which is what I explained before, melanzane, zucchini, and potatoes. Also the giant beans. The desserts are almond cookies and halva. Halva consists of semolina, olive oil, raisins, and walnuts. These are some of the dishes I cook on the
class. All sound delicious. They all sound like something I would want to sit down and feast on for sure. So
yes, they are.
Well, thank you so much, Espina, for sharing with us about some of your culture and your background. We are going to take a quick break, but stay with us. When we come back, we'll be taking a similar look at Indian cuisine with League of Kitchens instructor Yamina Joshi.
Listening to Moonless Sky by Eric Maltz.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
We're thrilled to announce a special event, the Silver Snail, 25 Years of Slow Food. This event is hosted by Slow Food USA, Heritage Radio Network, and Roberta's Pizza. It's been 25 years since Carlo Petrini and a group of activists launched a peaceful revolution to defend regional traditions, good food, gastronomic pleasure, and the slow pace of life. The slow food movement has since evolved into a comprehensive approach to food that recognizes strong connections between plate, planet, people, politics, and culture. Today, this movement involves thousands of projects and millions of people in more than 160 countries worldwide. Join us for a dialogue between Slow Food's founder, Carlo Petrini, and locavore activist Alice Waters as they reflect on the evolution of the food movement and all things slow. Friday, October 3rd from 11:30 to 2:30. You can go to our website and click on the link on the right-hand side of the page to RSVP. We can't wait to see you there.
Hello, this is Mark Ladner from Del Posto, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
All right, we are back. I'm Brianna Kurtz, and you're listening to Native on Heritage Radio. Today, we are talking to the lovely ladies from the League of Kitchens. In the first half of the show, we were visiting Greece, and now I want to head east to India and again introduce Yamini Joshi. So, Yamini, you are from Mumbai, correct?
Yes, I'm from Mumbai. I'm born and brought up in Mumbai.
And as more and more people kind of flock to the big cities, the urban centers in India, is Mumbai kind of a melting pot for Indian cuisine, or is there a distinct Mumbai cuisine?
No, it's a melting pot of a different cuisine because it's a cosmopolitan city. Mm-hmm. So you can find every world's cuisine in the Mumbai. Yes.
And where did you originally learn to cook?
I originally learned to cook from my mom and dad from home when I was 10 years old. I started cooking, learning cooking, and started cooking properly from my mom and dad.
Wonderful. And when did you move over to the U.S.?
I came here in 1999, like 14, 15 years ago. Okay. Yes.
And you moved immediately to New York?
Yes. First, I was landed in Albany. My brother was in Albany. So we need some support of family because we are very much new over here to settle down because I have a beautiful 3 daughters. Oh. And they are quite young. They graduated in India. But it's very tough time to settle down with the whole. We're missing everything in India and coming back.
Oh,
it's very hard time for me.
Yeah, so that adjustment, the same question I asked Despina, what was that like for you, just especially from the food sense?
Yeah. Actually, for the food sense, I don't miss anything because I love to cook all the time. Like cooking is my meditation. And wherever I go, I just heading in the kitchen first because I like to cook. I love serve the food to people. And when I see in my family, the tradition is the same, like cooking morning, evening, fresh food. People, even today, my brother don't like to eat any stale food or something. So all my sister-in-law or my brother or everybody like the fresh food. So this is the food is around, catching up and connected.
So always cooking. Yeah.
Always cooking.
So even when you moved over here, your safe place was the kitchen.
Straight
to the kitchen.
When my children comes home, always they complain, Mom, you're always in the kitchen. Always in the kitchen. Because I love to cook for my grandchildren, love to cook for my children, and whatever they like, I feel inspiration from that.
Good. And what makes Indian cuisine distinct from other cuisines that you have encountered?
I think nowadays I see the people are more familiar with Indian cuisines mm-hmm. and everything. And in New York City, I see a lot of opening of different cuisines. So over here, people are so excited to learn something. You know, before that, people eating or scared to taste something. But now I see people are more enthusiastic about the food learning and know about the, what is the authentic food and what is that.
What are some things that you consider like authentic Indian foods or dishes?
Like if you go in the restaurant, you can find some similar menus, but authentic food is like very, very basic spices you use for that, and that you get the different flavor of the different cuisine, not the same flavor. Like I'm from Rajasthan. Basically, my forefather, everybody migrated from Rajasthan. So my cuisine is culinary influenced by the Rajasthan food. So my food results lots of pulses, lots of wheat flour things, like a Rajasthani dish like dal bati. Dal means the mixed lentil stew, and it goes with the bati. The bati is a wheat flour dumpling roasted in with the cow dung and the wood fire, and they soak in the lots of ghee, purified butter. Mm-hmm. But it tastes so good.
And I want to ask about the, I've seen some of your interviews before, and you always talk about the healthiness of the food. Can you talk a little bit about that and how important that is to you?
Yeah, like I feel like everybody has to eat the fresh food. Like if you're getting a lot of fresh ingredient in the city, so whenever you want, you have to be cook the food and eat it freshly. You don't have to be stored in the fridge, or you don't have to leftover, because the leftover food, we know now scientifically proved that there is a lot of bacteria. Mm-hmm. So, and in Indian cuisine, we using lot of spices like turmeric, coriander, and mustard seeds and cumin seeds. So, as per my knowledge, this all ingredients are everything like related with your health. Mm-hmm. So, like if you, there is, we say there is a kitchen is your doctor. Like all, if you need something medicine, it is in your kitchen. You don't have to look for anywhere. So, like turmeric is very good for your stomach. And even though today we proved like cancer patient mm-hmm. also treated with the turmeric powder.
Yeah, and I think in the West, we're seeing that a lot more, and people are, yeah. you're seeing turmeric more and more, and people
more
using
and
it.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's something for me that's like very Indian, or comes from Indian cooking, yes, and you use it a lot.
So turmeric is basically when you're using in your food, so it's like antibiotics.
Aha. Yeah. So what are, if I come to your class and in your home for League of Kitchens, what are some of the dishes that we might cook together?
I have my traditional dish, sambaria. Sambaria is like small baby eggplant, small baby potato. We cut them proper way, and we stuffing with our spices and fresh coriander. And that is very traditional dish. Plus shira. Shira is like a semolina roasted in the ghee, and you cook with the milk and saffron, and that is our traditional dish. That shira is usually people, every Indian people knows what is the shira. And during the any celebration or any chanting things, the people have to offer the shira to the as a prasad.
What other dish? Maybe one or two more.
One lentil dal, mm-hmm. mixed dal. That is originally from Rajasthani style. That is, I like to teach people how the dal is very easy to make, and you get the flavor and you get the taste with everything.
How long are the classes generally?
Our classes are like 6 hours.
6 hours. Wow. Yeah. So you're definitely hungry by the time it's over, ready to sit down. And
so that's why when we welcome our student, we serve them whatever we can make, our traditional dishes, and we talk and we interview each other, or we can introduce each other. And then we start cooking in kitchen. We introduce with our ingredients, introduce with our what mm-hmm. we're cooking and what is the menu. And then I try to make all students has to do by their hand. Like by self, they know what is the tadka and what the roti, how to make a roti, especially rolling the roti and how to make a dough of roti.
So you put everyone to work?
Yes, everyone to work. I'm just watching them. I just instruct them. Uh-huh. So they enjoy cooking, learning everything.
Good. And I want to just ask you one more question. You said you moved here in 1999, is that right?
Yes.
How have you seen things change from then to now? I know you said that you see people more excited and more willing to try things, but also just maybe the difference from your children maybe to your grandchildren, or do you know, just the grandchildren have grown up in the U.S. and not in India, so yeah. Maybe what's the difference there? Do you still go back to India and get inspiration, or
actually I teach everything, cuisine things, to my daughter from childhood. But today also, I'm trying to give interest of cooking to my granddaughter also. And I see before when I came here, I don't see people are more taking interest in cooking things. They try to avoid mess work. I'm sorry.
Take your time.
So I see a lot of changes now.
It's okay. Just thinking, so you're trying to keep the family lineage going. You're teaching your daughters, teaching the grandkids. Do the grandkids have fun? They get in the kitchen and they like
yes.
cooking with you?
Yes,
and
I'm teaching my granddaughter how to make roti. And she, whenever she comes to my home, bye, can we make a roti today? So this way I'm giving them interest how to cook the proper food and how to make roti, everything.
And keeping it within the culture and teaching them about their roots and where you come from and where so good. Okay. Well, we just have a couple minutes left. I'd like to finish up the show by zooming out a little bit and just talking about the relationship between women and food in a broader context. So I want to just turn it back over to Jessica. And you know, there's so much research out there basically that says for a huge number of reasons that women in the food industry make less money than men. And we could spend a whole other show on why that is. But the fact remains that the food industry is a huge source of income for women and women supporting their families. So how is League of Kitchens working to help serve that mission? And how are you guys growing? What's the future look like for you?
Sure. Well, to answer the first part of that question, I think our goal is to provide meaningful part-time employment to exceptional home cooks. So each of our instructors, as you've heard a little bit about today, have very different backgrounds. Some of them have had different professions or have been just stay-at-home moms for the most part. So this is interesting in how it fits into their life now, and also thinking back about how food has sort of fit into their life over time. But I would say for several of our instructors, it just sort of happened naturally after they moved here. They were making such delicious food that members of their community or congregation kind of realized how amazing their cooking was, and it just kind of spiraled from there. So some of them do some informal catering. Others, you know, have just kept it to cooking for community or larger events like that. But for us, it's nice to be able to actually kind of put the women on a bit of a platform and allow them to be kind of the instructor and teacher and host and leader of these workshops. So they're not only providing a service, but they're actually kind of flipping that typical power dynamic between immigrants and non-immigrants, where students are coming to look to them to learn something new and to have this different experience and to actually go a bit out of their comfort zones by entering a new neighborhood and kind of the personal space of someone's home. So I think for us, it's, you know, the empowering and also obviously trying to provide competitive pay for the great work they're doing for us. And then in terms of the future of the League of Kitchens, we are actively recruiting new instructors. I get to go around and do cooking auditions with people who might be a good fit.
That must just be horrible having to.
Yeah, it's really, really awful.
Really tough.
An awful job. We hope to maybe do some videos in the future so that we're a little more accessible, even beyond New York, maybe a cookbook. So kind of lots of ideas. For now, we just want to keep getting more students in New York and hopefully continue to grow the number of classes we're offering.
And where can people find out more?
You can go to www.leagueofkitchens.com and find out everything about all of our instructors, the current schedule of workshops. Definitely encourage everyone to check it out and sign up. We have two different workshop options. The longer one that Yamini mentioned, it's 5.5 hours, the immersion workshops, or there's a shorter taste of workshop, 2.5 hours.
Excellent. Well, ladies, I want to thank all of you for joining me today and sharing your stories. That is all for Native. Join me next week when I'll be talking to Betsy Andrews, the executive editor of Sabor Magazine, and we'll be chatting about the 2014 Sabor Culinary Awards. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.